So namaste, welcome. So before I get started talking about what I wanted to bring forward today, just wanted to, it's always a good time around about now in retreat to kind of talk about the process of retreat and how to work with that. So as we're seeing clearer, we're going to be allowing more light, more love, more energy, more life force through the body-mind vehicle. That's happening all the time, but it's happening in an accelerated way at retreat, a concentrated way. And then the other aspect of that, you know, so our frequency that's flowing through the body mind is going to be higher and higher each day, as it is in life, but especially in these 5 days. And then we're going to become, as we were talking about yesterday, more and more aware of our lowest frequency. What keeps coming to the surface won't go away. Is asking for to be looked at and to be evaluated. Can you see there? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's good to remember that the amount of well-being and abundance of health and vitality that the body is feeling is going to be limited by the lowest idea, lowest vibrational idea that we're believing. And it's never going to be more evident that, than at retreat. We might have these beautiful seeings, which allow, you know, this great aha moment or epiphany that's unfolding and deepening. And then the other side of that coin of duality is the lowest frequency also presenting itself to be examined. What that may look like in practice, in actuality at retreat, is feeling a little bit unwell. Or a lot tired, or the body yawning desperately, or crying, or laughing, or all of the above at once, usually. And you may have noticed you seem to need more sleep, even though you're not really doing as much physically. All of that is very normal. And the way to close the gap between what you're seeing in this moment and where you're living vibrationally is to question the lowest idea that's coming up. And we don't know always what the idea is, but we can feel the feeling, the emotion. So fear, if fear is coming up, it's because it's our next lowest frequency to work through and transmute and release. That's all that's happening at retreat. Happens in our life too, but in a very concentrated, accelerated way here. So you might feel great one moment, and then the next moment, not so great physically. So we can go into an open inquiry then. What is the low frequency here that's trying to be released? What is it, and can I see it and release it? So it will be something along the lines of I'm not safe with this fear, or I'm in danger. If it's unworthiness, I'm not good enough, I'm not adequate, shame, I don't deserve to feel good, I don't deserve to awaken, something along those lines, anger, I can't get what I want or need to feel safe, to feel happy, to feel free, et cetera. So if you kind of expect this to some degree, not that we're expecting to be ill or something, but we won't be blindsided by it because we're in a concentrated high vibration for a long extended period of time. That's the purpose and the beauty of retreat. But we also have to just keep a little check on what's the lowest frequency that's coming up. So it happened for me this morning, the body just felt a little tired, a little off. So there's a little bit of inquiry and it lifted. The only thing that's different perhaps is how quickly I go to that inquiry rather than resisting that feeling. So, but we can all step into that right now and to help us work through this retreat. Every time a lower frequency comes up, you'll feel a little diminishment in how you feel until you've questioned it. And that's a good thing spiritually, isn't it? Because we can't ignore it as much as we'd like to sometimes. So just a good thing to do in your contemplation time later on this afternoon after satsang too. Sometimes it's more urgent than that. But So today I wanted to, every time I try to do this, I kind of end up leaving a session going, yeah, that didn't go at all how I wanted it to. I want to try to describe what it's like to live in the awakened way, which is like trying to describe the impossible, really, but I'll give it another go and we'll see how we get on, because the purpose of speaking of this is to inspire, which really means inspirited, to really inspire you to open more, to see what, you know, if you're having one of those moments where you're feeling quite nauseous or exhausted or very fearful or something like that, it can seem, why on earth did I come to this place and this retreat? What am I doing this for? And it's nice sometimes to hear what the natural state is. Actually, you know, what it is like when we're not believing any thoughts. So in an attempt to kind of address that, I'm going to try to speak about it. And just before I do, it's probably good to recognize in advance it's going to possibly bring up some unworthiness in you. Well, I'm not experiencing that, or some jealousy, which was the major motivating factor for my own awakening, despair and jealousy. I'd like to say it was devotion and bliss, but it really wasn't. It was, I want that and I have to have it and I cannot live without. And I'm so insanely jealous of other beings that have it. Sheer bloody-minded will and determination and despair. So if that's what's fueling your retreat, you're in the right place. So if it does bring up jealousy, the best way to work with jealousy is that if you're seeing it outside in another being around you, what you want, it must be happening inside too, because you are inside and outside and everywhere. So the fact that you're seeing it, hearing about it, feeling jealous about it, means it is happening inside you if you will be determined to see it, to allow it. It took me a long time to come to that recognition. Jealousy in separation feels terrible. That person out there has it and I don't, has what I want and I don't. And if you just turn it the other way around, because I'm seeing it out there, it must be happening in here, has to be, such is the universal law, then it's much easier to work with. It's right back in our control then. It's only a willingness to see. So living without any thoughts being believed, not necessarily without any thoughts, but without believing any thoughts, is a very simple way to live. And it's filled with a sense of there's a sense of awe and wonder that's pretty much constantly present, amazement, because everything that you look upon and everyone, you're seeing the essence of everything. So your eyes see the shape of that thing and your heart knows what it really, really is. And because of that, everything and everyone takes on this kind of stunning beauty, as if what you're seeing with your eyes is what you're hearing with your ears and tasting with your tongue and everything that you could experience ever as a human being is a sculpture, a beautiful sculpture, three-dimensional moving sculpture made just for you. As if all of this universe is a continuously unfolding, beautiful sculpture that gets ever more beautiful by the moment. And I kind of spend my time amazed and delighted at the next shapes, the next sculpture, the fact that it somehow managed to be even more beautiful than the previous moment, and that will never end, ever. when we believe our thoughts, we experience those thoughts. So what I think about you, I'm going to experience, or I can experience what you actually are, which feels the same as when I'm in my deepest meditation, my deepest state. In fact, there is no difference between that deepest state and how I'm feeling right now when we're having this talk. And that may seem far away and kind of a deep and wonderful place that you might seem far away from, might feel far away from, but it's really curiosity. What actually is all of this? What is this being in front of me? What is this tree? What is this anger? What is this fear actually? What is this feeling? What is this body? Very open, curious way of being. And when you're open to see what something really is or someone really is, there's just awe and wonder and curiosity. And the biggest problem you have then is trying to act like a 46-year-old woman and not a 3-year-old child all the time. Oh, look at all this. And remembering that sometimes people still believe what they think about something rather than what something actually is. So beauty is ever present in that state, in that condition, or a feeling of being completely blessed, lucky, although knowing it's not luck, it's just curiosity, a deep and abiding curiosity as to what something actually is, a preference to experience it directly rather than to think about it, which gently overrides your ability to believe a thought about anything or anyone. And there aren't any mundane things anymore. There's nothing boring. Everything is sacred. Everything is special. Everything is of equal value because of its essence. Everything that exists, has done or will do, is equally special and valuable and divine in essence. Even fear and shame and anger. Every single human being on this planet right now could ever be. There's a recognition that everyone is acting from their thoughts and doesn't know that they are because they think their thoughts are reality. And a forgiveness and a compassion for self and others that comes out of that automatically. Just as we were caught in our thoughts until we weren't, so is everyone else. And if they knew what we know, they wouldn't act the way that they do. But there's no blame in that or judgment. Judgment is no longer possible because there's nothing to judge and nobody to judge. And there's nothing different. To judge something, there has to be two different things to discern. And there isn't two different things. There's a depth of quiet and a immensity of peace that hits like a tsunami again and again, more and more each day. And life is a process of learning to function in this ever-increasing peace and marveling at the amazing body that can just do that by itself, luckily, because, you know, most of the time I don't have a clue. So again, as I'm talking about this, it's okay if this is inspiring jealousy and inspiring desire. That's good, isn't it? I want this too. This is my birthright. This is why I'm here. This is freedom. This is the natural state of a human being. We call it awakening or enlightenment or self-realization, but it's really just the natural state of a human being. Just as a tree is not feeling insecure about the number of branches it has. It's just being a tree. We can just be this human being. A sense of timelessness that kind of overrides time so that there's no boredom, there's no future, there's no past. There's only the eternal now, which is ever present. And that nothing is really changing, actually. It's only changing its shape in this three-dimensional holographic real-time universal shape that you, the self, is making. There's a feeling of a deep and rich connection with everything, knowing its essence. Nothing is a stranger, nobody is a stranger. Even though the two bodies might not have met yet, there's an intimate knowing of that being and the heart of that being, even if your bodies never end up in the same room. There is abundance too, more than enough of everything you need. Once thoughts have disappeared out of the picture, you're not believing thoughts. Whatever thoughts we believe are limiting the manifestation in each moment. So it's going to be very hard for me to have everything I need if I feel I don't deserve it. So I have to keep experiencing not having it. When that falls away, there's only more than enough of everything that we could need. So the inner things like peace, joy, love, compassion, forgiveness. Everything the body needs, vitality, well-being, good food, good nutrition, exercise, deep restful sleep. Everything we need in our outer world, abundant relationships, friendships, a deep and rich connection with everything, everything. Abundance here, as I'm using the word, my definition is more than enough, never being able to run out. So money, time, energy, well-being, happiness, you name it, whatever you want, it will show up in abundance. And not just in one area of your life, in all the ways it's been trying to come, all the ways. And Christ really wasn't kidding when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then righteousness and all else shall be added unto you. He really wasn't exaggerating, let's just say. There's a sense that the mind is totally irrelevant, not wrong, just totally irrelevant. That it's talking about a world that doesn't exist for you anymore. And it's talking about, the mind is talking about beings that don't actually exist outside of us and things that don't actually exist separate to us. As that sinks in deeper, there's a complete immunity to anything that mind says. Not pushing mind away, it's just not relevant, is it? If you wanted to study mathematics and you picked up a book on Spanish, you know, how to learn Spanish, you wouldn't shout at the Spanish book and say, you are so wrong, you should go away. You just put it down and pick up a book on mathematics. And there's a recognition that we only really believed our thoughts because we were believing that the objects the mind is talking about really exist outside of us, separate to us. And that you can only really think about something when you think it's separate to you. After that, when you see it's not, that falls away. And you still have access to the functional mind, as we were saying, you know, you're going to be late for work thought is helpful, isn't it? You need to move. But you use the mind and then it falls back into silence. Rather than mind giving you occasional moments of silence, it's flipped on its head. There is an immensity of bliss, which is really the natural outcome of a total absence of fear. That's not to say the body doesn't feel fear every now and again, but it's just seen as some old remnant of the way I used to think and feel about life. And it's just held in love and dissolves. There's also a rich, deep, profound presence that encompasses the body, holds the body, and automatically ensures the safety of the body, that anything that comes into contact with the body that is less than love is immediately transmuted into love. And that also encompasses all beings around that particular body, while they're around that particular body. And that goes for whether they're physically in the room or whether they're vibrationally around the body. The presence envelops everything in its field and lifts it up. To the degree that each particular being in that presence is ready to be lifted up, which really comes back to how much we're believing thoughts. So if you sat here now or the other side of the world, it makes no difference vibrationally. That presence isn't limited by time and space, only if we think it is. There's a sense that there really isn't any problems ever. What we think is a problem is actually where the manifestation is about to expand. And miracles are pretty much constant, large and small. And a miracle is really only what happens, what manifests spontaneously when no thoughts are being believed that are dampening down, limiting the manifestation. Miracles of healing and wellness and every single area you could think of where there could be a miracle, in all the ways. And I'm saying this because it's what's happening for you. It's important to recognize this is what's happening for you. It's not something you've got to try to get. It's not something I achieved. It's something that happens spontaneously and is continuously trying to happen. If we can open and soften to question the thoughts that we're believing. It's not like I've got to work hard enough to get enlightened and then in a moment of grace it will happen. It's like grace is trying 24/7, 365 days a year to find the smallest crack in our certainty of what we're sure is true. And you give it just one tiny gap and it will just flood in. Because you don't have to earn it, it is the natural state. And it begins to first affect the body and the mind to slow those down, to unwind them, to detox them, to release the tensions that have been held in the body for who knows how long, when body's gone in previous times. And then it begins to spread out into your life, your home, your relationships, and infuses everything with this love, this wonderful intimacy, where there really is nothing or anyone to be afraid of at all. And just good things tend to happen around you, but you're not really doing anything to make that happen. It's just the presence, isn't it? It's just the love. It's just the frequency, the high frequency. And there's a deeply humbling recognition that for the rest of your life, it's only going to get better. Every single day, there is more peace, more love, more joy available. So there is this kind of curious mix between feeling like the most blessed person on the entire planet and feeling this is just natural and normal. And I don't know how I quite managed to feel otherwise before. How did that really happen? Seems real at the time, of course. And wherever you go, everything seems to kind of magically fall into place for you, especially when it looks like it won't. And that's kind of the fun of it too. Something looks like it's never going to happen. It's not going to come together. As in the fact we're sitting here right now, hearing these words. And it's almost fun to entertain what looks like impossible, to see it turn around, because you know there's nothing impossible, actually. Nothing. And really what everyone calls a miracle, as we said, it's just what naturally wants to happen. The highest thing that can manifest at any moment will. And that highest thing that can manifest in any moment is constantly increasing. The moment the highest thing manifests, something even better is possible. So you're kind of constantly playing catch up, and it's fun. And the thing that I would really like you to get, really, really like you to spend some time thinking about, is that I'm not describing some other state that is outside of you to be reached or earned or deserved. You cannot fail to wake up or get this or deserve this or earn this or whatever excuse we're using, because you are this. How can you fail if it's what you already are? How can you not deserve it? Just to question those thoughts that seem true from a separate being's perspective. I might not make it. I might be the only one that doesn't get it from this retreat. And it is already happening. There is no if in this case. There's no if you wake up. Only in the mind, of course, in the mind. And as you really ingest that and allow it to go into your heart, there's no if. There's only when, and how fast that unfolding is blossoming. And how fast that unfolding is blossoming into a fully realized human being is speeding up right now, isn't it? As you get that. And it gets faster and faster and faster as you get deeper and deeper into it. Have you noticed that? There's something kind of moving towards a crescendo. And it's not difficult. And it doesn't need to take a long time. I experienced both of those thoughts for a long time, as I'm sure you have also, until I questioned them. There's a deep sense that nothing can hurt you, nothing can damage you, nothing can diminish you or limit you. And there's a sense that you're kind of living in this body for a while, but even when the body's gone, nothing happens to you. that death of the body eventually becomes a celebration, and the only way you can expand further in your consciousness, in your individual but not separate consciousness. That death can be a beautiful ending to the greatest party of all and the starting of another one. There's a sense of gratitude for the opportunity to be able to realize this and experience this. To have appeared in a human form and to be curious about what we really are and to be willing to see it is so rare. All the species that you could have shown up as, even as a human being, how rare it is to want to be in a room like this, hearing these particular words. A deep and rich celebration of the opportunity that we've been given, and a grasping of it with both hands and your whole heart. And of course, that's why you're here. That's why you're hearing these words. That's what you want, of course, but it's worthwhile mentioning that. That becomes a constant thing, a constant thing. And a profound depth of devotion that doesn't actually ever disappear, but only increases. I had this strange idea that devotion to truth would disappear once I recognized, and it's the opposite, actually. And as you probably already noticed, the deep sense that you want to share this with everyone on the entire planet, whether they want to hear it or not, and also deep recognition that most beings don't want to. Yet. With a quiet and smug knowing that your presence is affecting them anyway without saying anything, lifting them up. So I'm not saying all of this to kind of, you know, look how amazing my life is, but to kind of just, it helps to have a picture, doesn't it, sometimes? Sometimes it helps to have an understanding of what the natural state is to the best I've been able to describe it this time. And it all comes from one simple thing, the willingness to question any thought, the perfect willingness to question any thought we've been believing. And that perfect willingness doesn't come all at once. It comes in degrees, doesn't it? The more you experience some peace, the more willing you are to question the next thought. The more you question the next thought, the more peace and joy you feel. And the more peace and joy you feel, the more you want to question the next one. And so on. And your outer life becomes just magnificent in a very ordinary way. Nobody would know that they're looking at an awakened being. They'd walk right past you in Tesco's, in the supermarket, sorry. You don't have Tesco's in Australia, maybe. And you don't need them to know. You're totally okay with them having their own experience. It's completely okay. That's love, isn't it? That's love. Unless they're interested in truth, and then they'll know somehow. They'll know somehow. And they'll find you. So I would really like you to believe is not the right word. I was going to say believe, but to open your heart to see that this is what's already occurring. You could not be in this retreat with me if you weren't at least somewhere close to my vibration, right? At least somewhere close. And the whole 5 days is just to close the gap, isn't it, really? And isn't that happening right now? I can feel it happening right now. Every session we do, you walk out of it a little less able to doubt yourself and a little bit more sure of yourself. So little by little, or lot by lot, if you're open, and faster and faster. Something is waking up inside, isn't it? Something that is sure of itself. And it isn't trying to get rid of mind. It's just gently going, there, mind, it's okay. You know. As I was walking down here just now, Tess came bursting past up the hill, the dog Tess, sorry. She must have been doing it seemed like 40 miles an hour. And then she suddenly realized that she really wanted to go down this path and put the brakes on real quick. And she had to kind of backtrack, and I was just watching and laughing. And I thought, that's just how our mind is, isn't it? You know, and retreat really is just to put the brakes on that seeking and to actually start finding and being and experiencing. And all of spirituality anyway, but especially here in this retreat, this concentrated thing. I'm trying to slow you down, trying to get you to see what's already here. And there's no reason at all why you should experience anything different than I'm experiencing right now, unless you believe that you can't. There's no reason that I can believe, at least. There might be some reason you're still believing, which is the next thing to contemplate, isn't it? That's all. So again, if there's a fire inside you now, good. And if there's jealousy inside you, good. I'm not sorry for that. I used to apologize for that, but not anymore. Decided. It's okay to want what you want, and of course you want this. Of course you want this. Who wouldn't want this once they've tasted it, especially? You'd have to be bonkers, wouldn't you, not to? And the only reason that we don't want it so badly, we don't want to hear about it first, is because we're experiencing our thoughts rather than reality. So please, don't believe in any limitation for you. Any reason that you walk out of this session or this retreat feeling anything other than peace, love, and joy. Why can't that happen? Why can't it happen? If you are already the self, you don't have to change into it. There's just a few ideas that we've held on to that we're letting go of. That's all. So I feel deeply fulfilled and slightly frustrated at the same time that words just haven't done it yet again, but hopefully they've painted a picture. And hopefully they've inspired you. Because that really is my role in all of this. Inspiration and encouragement and support and example.